Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam. Dear listeners, Radio Sai continues its weekly presentation of the talking book version of Mr. Howard Moffat's highly acclaimed book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. The author was among the very early Westerners who came to Satya Sai Baba as a skeptic in 1964, and drawn by his enigma, he stayed for considerable periods of time near him in the next 6 years. During this period, he conducted extensive research and probing investigations into the Sai phenomena. He published his findings as the book that has become a classic of Sai literature, often considered the primer which introduced Sri Satya Sai Baba to millions round the world. This book was first published in 1971. Since then, it has been instrumental in drawing millions of seekers to the loving path of Satya Sai. These readings, dear listeners, are being aired every week, and if you wish to revisit a chapter at any time, you can do so at our website radiosai.org. So dear listeners, welcome now to Sai Baba, Man of Miracles by Howard Moffat.
Sai Ram, and welcome to Radio Sai's Talking Book Session. This is a presentation of select excerpts from Mr. Howard Moffat's book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. Truth is not that which is demonstrable. It is that which is ineluctable. Saint Exupery. With that quote begins Chapter 6, entitled The Two Sais. Here the author deals with the dilemma caused by young Satya's claim that he was a reincarnation of Sai Baba. His family members and villagers wondered who this figure Sai Baba was. Soon came the news that there was, in Penukonda, a town 25 miles away, a visiting government officer who was an ardent devotee of a Muslim fakir, Shirdi Sai Baba. Satya was taken to meet this officer.
"It is mental derangement," the officer told the adults. "The child should be taken to a psychiatric institution for treatment." However, Satya interposed, "Yes, it's mental derangement, but whose? You are just a pujari. You can't recognize the very Sai whom you are worshipping." Saying that, he took handfuls of ash from nowhere and, scattering it in all directions, left the room.
While reincarnation is a part of the Hindu religion, people needed proof to believe that their Satya indeed was the Shirdi Sai incarnate. Once, soon after the visit to Penukonda, someone at a Thursday meeting voiced the desire that was doing the rounds in many minds.
"If you're really Sai Baba, show us a sign." Satya saw the need of this. "Bring me those jasmine flowers," he said, pointing to a large bouquet in the room. The flowers were placed in his hands, and with a quick gesture, he threw them on the floor. All present looked in awe. The flowers had fallen to form the name Sai Baba in Telugu script, the language spoken in the village. This flower writing was not something that required imagination to help. The words were strikingly clear, as if arranged with meticulous skill. All the curves and convolutions of the Telugu letters perfectly reproduced.
Mr. Moffat now goes on to recollect the various experiences of the newfound followers of Satya Sai. These accounts are of significance since they shed light on the uncanny link between the Shirdi Sai and Satya Sai.
"Thursdays soon became big events at Urvakonda. For the people gathered around him, Satya Sai would, with a wave of his small hand, produce items which linked him with the deceased Shirdi saint, photographs of the old body, Gerua cloth, which he had said was from the kafni that Shirdi Baba used to wear. dates and flowers which he declared came directly from the shrine at the Shirdi tomb, where they had been taken as offerings by worshippers. Perhaps the most interesting phenomenon was his regular production of ash. Shirdi Sai had always kept a fire burning to have a ready supply of holy ash, which he called Udi. Now young Satya Sai took it as if from an invisible fire in hidden dimension of space. This was a miracle that he had not performed until after the announcement of his identity with Sai Baba. The announcement also marked the beginning of the mysterious flow of photographs, drawings, paintings and figures of Shirdi Baba, which still goes on, as I personally experienced on a number of occasions. Once before Satya returned to Uravakonda from Puttaparthi, his eldest sister, Venkamma, had asked him for a picture of this Shirdi Baba, about whom he was talking and composing bhajan songs. He promised to produce one for her on a certain Thursday. However, on the day before the particular Thursday, Satya returned to his high school. Well, Venkamma thought, he has forgotten. It can't be helped. Someday he will give it to me, no doubt. But on the promised Thursday night, she was awakened by a strange sound, as if someone was calling outside the door. She sat up, but all seemed quiet, so she lay down again. Then there was a sound behind bag of jowar in the room. Perhaps it's a rat or snake, she thought. So she lit a lamp and searched. She found something white sticking out from behind the bag. It was a roll of thick paper. She unrolled it in the lamplight to find a picture of an old man seated with his right leg resting across his left knee. Soft but penetrating eyes looked out at her from below a knotted headcloth. It must be the promised picture, she thought, delivered to me by some invisible messenger. Venkamma still has this colored picture of Shirdi Sai and showed it to me when I visited her once at Puttaparthi.
Finally, on October 20th, 1940, Swami announced his mission in life. This date is since being celebrated as Avatar Day. Here's what happened on that day.
The final break from school days came on October 20th, 1940. That morning, at his brother's house where he was residing, Satya threw away his books and announced that he was leaving. My devotees are calling me. I have my work, he said. His sister-in-law says that when she heard these words, she saw a halo around the boy's head, which almost blinded her, so that she covered her eyes and cried out in alarm. Once when Satya was leading a group for hours in bhajan songs, another event occurred, an event which again linked Satya to Sai Baba of Shirdi. A photographer arrived to take a photo of this little newsworthy prophet. A large crude stone seemed to spoil the composition of the picture, so the photographer asked Satya Sai to change its position. But no cooperation seemed forthcoming, so the photographer clicked his camera and hoped for the best. He got more than the best. When the film was developed and printed, it was found that the obstructing rock had become an image of Sai Baba of Shirdi. Both forms of Sai were in the picture, though only one had been seen by the people assembled there.
Mr. Murfitt recollects many more interesting outward evidences which substantiate young Satya's claim of being the reincarnation of the most powerful saint that modern India had ever seen. Let us listen to a few of them.
One story related in detail by Mr. Kasturi in his book on Baba's life tells how, about a year after the announcement, when Satya Sai was 15, he was visited by the Rani of Chincholi. Her late husband, the Raja, had been a very ardent devotee of Shirdi Baba and used to spend a few months every year at Shirdi. It is stated by the Rani and some old servants of the palace that Shirdi Baba on several occasions came and stayed at Chincholi. He would, they say, ride with the Raja far out of town in a tonga drawn by bullocks. Incidentally, this tonga was later taken from Chincholi to Puttaparthi and left there. During her visit to Puttaparthi to see this reincarnation of the old saint, Rani persuaded him to accompany her to Chincholi. Perhaps she wanted to test him. There had been a number of changes at the palace since the days when Shirdi Baba visited there. Although theoretically accepting the boy as a rebirth of the Shirdi saint, the Rani was startled when he immediately commented on the changes. He asked what had happened to a Margosa tree that had once been there. He mentioned the previous existence of a well which had been filled up and was no longer in evidence. Then, pointing to a line of buildings, he said, "They were not built when I was here in my previous body." This was all true. Later, he told her that there should be in the palace a small stone image of a certain kind, which, as Shirdi Baba, he had given to the Raja long ago. The Rani did not know of its existence, but a thorough search was made and the image found. The experience of His Holiness Gayatri Swami, a disciple of the Shankaracharya of Sringeri Peetham, also holds immense relevance. It happened while he was on a visit to Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram, after Satya Sai had moved there from his home village. This Gayatri Swami had once spent a whole year with Baba at Shirdi back in 1906, and often visited him in the later years. He was perhaps only partly convinced that Satya Sai was his old guru reborn. Anyway, on the night before he left Prashanthi Nilayam, he had a vision. In this, Shirdi Baba came to him and said that he had returned from his Mahasamadhi, the word used for the death of a great yogi, after 8 years, and that he had brought all his properties with him 15 years later. What could this vision mean? The Swami wondered. He understood its meaning next morning. When discussing his vision with devotees, he was told that Satya Sai was born 8 years after the passing of Shirdi Baba. Also, that he assumed the name of Sai Baba in his 14th year and was manifesting the full powers associated with Shirdi Baba by his 15th year. These powers, the Swami felt, must be what his guru meant by properties, and the vision had been given to confirm in his mind that his Lord was again walking the earth. Sai Baba of Puttaparthi has given many people visions of his old Shirdi form when they had requested it, and sometimes without request. It might be argued, however, and perhaps rightly, that the power to produce hallucinations of the Shirdi form is no proof that Satya ever lived in that form. But there are many other types of evidence pointing to the fact that the two Sais are in spirit one and the same. The men who as adults were close disciples of Baba at Shirdi have most of them passed on with the passing years. But there are still a few old gentlemen around who as boys visited Shirdi when the old saint was still there. These Satya Sai recognized, even though their own mothers would not easily see the boy of long ago within the aging body. One of these is Mr. M.S. Dikshit, who, having retired, now lives at Sai Baba's summer retreat at Whitefield near Bangalore. While I was there with Baba one summer, I had many wonderful talks with Mr. Dikshit on his experiences of the two Sais. M.S. Dikshit told me he made his earliest visits to Shirdi first in the year 1909 and again in 1912. Before the second visit, he had been suffering what he called half headaches. At sunrise, half his head would start to ache agonizingly. Then a little before sunset, it would stop. This would go on each day for about 2 months at a stretch. It was very distressing. His uncle took him to Sai Baba, hoping for a cure of the strange headaches. Mr. Dikshit recalls vividly how he was sitting near Sai Baba one day when Baba suddenly said to him, "Why are you sitting here? Go home." Young Dikshit replied that he had a bad headache and the heat of the fire near which he was sitting brought him some relief. But Baba insisted that he must go. It was the custom when leaving to take some ash from the fireplace and put it in Baba's hand so that he might give it with his parting blessings. The 14-year-old boy did this. Baba held the udi for a moment and then applied it to the lad's forehead with some force. Young Dikshit felt that he had been slapped on the head as well as ordered to go away. So he told his uncle that he would not visit Baba anymore. His uncle replied, "Are you a fool? The slap means that your headache will not recur." This turned out to be true. The strange and terrible half headaches never came back after that day, and young Dikshit understood that Baba had been in his enigmatic way, ordering not the boy, but the headache to go away. 6 years later, in July 1918, M.S. Dixit found himself ill again, this time with bad hemorrhoids and an anal fistula. The medical men of Bombay, where he was living, said he must undergo an operation, but he felt very nervous about having surgery and did not want it. Yet he was suffering a lot and there was much bleeding. He felt very miserable about his condition. At one of the regular Thursday evening gatherings of Shirdi Baba's Bombay devotees, M.S. Dixit was somehow overcome by the devotional atmosphere combined with his own misery. Although a young man of 20, he broke down and cried like a child. That night, he had a dream in which Shirdi Baba came to him and chided him for weeping like a girl. Then the old saint told him what to use as a cure for his ailment. After waking, Dixit could remember everything except the name of the medicament which Baba had prescribed. He was very distressed about this and decided to go to Shirdi as soon as possible and get the name from Baba's lips. But before he could go, he heard that Baba had died. Now, he thought gloomily, I shall never know and must go on suffering. Then, at the next Thursday evening meeting, following the news of Baba's passing, he found himself again overwhelmed with sorrow for himself and wept once more. The same night brought him another vivid dream. In this, Baba stood before him again, still in the old Shirdi form, and said, What? Crying like a girl again? Then he told the young man to take 7 seeds of pepper, crush them to powder, and each day take a pinch of the powder mixed with udi. All devotees, incidentally, kept some of Baba's udi in their homes. M.S. Dixit remembered these dream instructions clearly next morning and carried them out. On the 3rd day of treatment, the pain stopped. On the 7th, the bleeding stopped. A complete cure took place and the complaint never returned. The years passed and the pages of Dixit's life turned over. He was in business. He was married. He was a major and brigade education officer in the army during the Second World War and for some years afterwards. The year 1959 found him back in commercial life in the west coast city of Mangalore. During leisure time, he was reading a famous Hindu religious work entitled Guru Charitra. If this is read through completely within 7 days, it is said great spiritual benefits will ensue. On the evening of the 6th day of the reading, he had a dream. In this, he was walking along a broad avenue of trees and felt that someone was following him. He looked back. There was a man, a very distinctive man, close behind him. Dixit asked, Who are you and why are you following me? But there was no reply. The figure just continued to follow silently. After a few minutes, Dixit looked back again and saw the man still following him. Neither said anything. Soon the footsteps drew closer and Dixit felt that something was being poured over his head from behind. He realized that it was ash. That was the entire dream he could remember on waking, but very clear in his mind remained the striking, unique figure and face of the man who followed him. Some months afterwards, through an odd set of circumstances, he heard that there was a reincarnation of Shirdi Baba, but did not believe it. Then later on, he heard the same story again from another quarter and was shown a photograph of Satya Sai Baba. It was the man who had followed him in the dream. Now his interest was really aroused. He remembered his uncle's story that Shirdi Baba had once told him, I will appear again as a boy of 8 years. Was this the boy now grown to manhood? He decided to go as soon as possible to Puttaparthi and find out all he could.
What happened when Mr. Dixit went to Puttaparthi? Did he believe that Satya Sai was indeed the man he had seen in his dream, and if he truly was the very same Shirdi Sai?
It was early in 1961 when he managed to get there as one of a party of about 30 people. The ashram was choked with the Shivratri thousands, and Dixit stood there among them waiting for a view of Satya Sai Baba on the high balcony. When the little red-robed, dome-haired figure with the sweet, lovable face appeared, Dixit knew for certain that it was the figure of his strange dream. Yet, he thought, How can this be the old saint of Shirdi, with his colored silks, hair like a woman, and the big crowds around him? This man is more like a film star. Shirdi Baba was rugged, homespun and simple. How can this possibly be the same man? Suddenly he wanted to go home. But he stayed to watch Satya Sai pour huge quantities of sacred ash from a small bowl over the statue of Shirdi Sai, and the same evening take 9 lingams from his mouth. Then during a public discourse next day, Baba said, "Some who have come here think I am too much like a film star. They object to my bright colored robes and the style of my hair." With consternation, Dikshit heard all of his own unspoken critical thoughts being repeated from the platform. Then Baba went on to explain the reasons. Good reasons, Dikshit felt, for the striking attire, the unique hairstyle, and the other features of this incarnation.
Sometimes the Lord comes looking for his devotees, or creates an illusion that the devotee has chanced upon divinity by luck. Well, Dikshit decided that Satya Sai certainly was someone very special. There was no doubt about his supernormal powers, but he was so different from old Shirdi Baba. Can it really be the same soul?
On a second visit to Prashanti Nilayam, 3 months later, he was called into a room with a group of half a dozen people for an interview. Baba came in, spoke to a few people, and then went up to M.S. Dikshit, who was holding a small photo of his uncle, H.S. Dikshit, in his hand. Baba took the photo from him, looked at it, and said, "That's H.S. Dikshit, your uncle, your father's elder brother, and my old devotee at Shirdi. Now, have you any more doubts?" His doubts were fewer because all that Baba had said was true, and Dikshit had told no one his name at the ashram. He was there incognito, just an unknown member of a crowd of visitors. But Baba had recognized the face of his uncle in the photo at first sight. After that, Dikshit often made trips to the ashram and through the years enjoyed the wealth of Sai Baba's miraculous powers, great compassion and spiritual teachings. But it was the many, many little things, more than these big ones, that finally convinced him that the two Sais were one. Dikshit told me, he went on to describe these important little things, the similarities in the siddhis, the parallels in the teachings and manner of instruction, the subtle echoes from the past in gesture, phrase and attitude. Sometimes I even see on his face the same old smile that I saw long ago on the face of Shirdi Baba, he said. Of course, the differences which he felt so sharply at first are indeed there, he admits. But there is, after all, a different body, a different setting, a different period in time, a different environment for the Sai mission. And therefore, the mission, while in spirit the same, cannot be precisely the same in form and style. And it is to be expected that the outer personality through which the message comes to the world will also be different.
These differences, however, do not come as any striking revelation. Our Swami has himself commented that he is not as hard or angry now as he was in the earlier manifestation. He is more tolerant and gentle. He explains the difference by means of a simile. Quote, "The mother is usually hard when the children enter the kitchen and disturb the cooking, but while serving the food, she is all smiles and patient. I am now serving the dishes. Cook then. Wherever you may be, if you are hungry, and if your plate is ready, I shall serve you the dishes and feed you to your heart's content." Unquote. At another time, concerning the controversy about whether Swami is the same Shirdi Baba or not, Swami said, quote, "When there are two pieces of candy, one square, another circular, one yellow, and the other purple in color, unless one has eaten and realized the taste of both pieces, one cannot believe that both are the same. Tasting, experiencing. That's the crucial thing for knowing the identity." Unquote.
Another person who met Shirdi Baba is an old lady now living at Prashanti Nilayam. This lady was a child when she was taken to Shirdi by her father a collector in the Nizam's dominions. Later, after all her four children had died, she went again to Shirdi in 1917 and asked Baba for permission to stay on with him for spiritual initiation and training. But Baba said, "Not now. I'll come again in Andhra. You will meet me then and be with me." She returned to the Nizam's dominions and spent her life doing welfare and charitable works. During her travels, collecting money and support for her home of refuge for orphan girls, which she had called Sai Sadan, she heard that there was a boy in Uruvakonda who had announced himself as Sai Baba. Remembering what Baba had told her in 1917 about reincarnating in Andhra, she hastened to Uruvakonda, arriving there on a Thursday. She joined the crowd that went to visit the young Sai Baba on that day and sat near him. She says that Baba spoke to her in a low voice in Hindi as at Shirdi. "So you have come, my child?" Then he told her that she owed him 16 rupees, reminding her that of 40 rupees she collected for religious celebrations at Shirdi, 16 were still on loan to a friend of hers. Then smiling, he whispered, "I am telling you this only to convince you that I am Shirdi Sai Baba." The lady is now with Satya Sai Baba at Prashanti Nilayam, Andhra Pradesh, happy that what he told her half a century ago at Shirdi has come true.
Mr. Murfitt, however, rightly identifies that it is not the outer but the inner evidence that will lead to conviction in this regard. People who have stayed with Satya Sai for a long time and have also known Shirdi Baba, either directly or through the written records, have no doubt that both are incarnations of the same divine being.
A number of books have been published on Sai Baba of Shirdi, including Narasimha Swami's excellent 4-volume work on his life and teachings. I find that when deeply absorbed in these, I often think I am reading about Sai Baba of Puttaparthi. I must continually remind myself that these are the teachings, sayings, doings of Shirdi Baba, not the present-day Satya Sai. There is such a profound similarity. Satya Sai himself has said that the first 32 years of his incarnation would be marked mainly by leelas and mahimas, miracles, and the subsequent years by discourses and verbal teachings. But he pointed out that this was just a question of emphasis, that both aspects would be in evidence at all times. Considering the many miracles I have witnessed during this his teaching phase, I wondered what life must have been like with Satya Sai during the years of his miracle phase. So I sought out and talked to men and women who had known him then. Amongst them were practical men of business and affairs, well-traveled people of the world, high-ranking civil servants, and highly educated people of the professions.
More on what those experiences are in the next presentation. Till then, all the best and Jai Sai Ram. You have been listening to a presentation of excerpts from Mr. Howard Murfitt's book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. This book has been published in 1971 by Frederick Miller Limited in London.